This is tape recording number 6308 CO8, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 8th of August, 1963. The title of this lecture is R2H Assessment.
Thank you. This is the what?
The 8th.
The 8th of August, AD 13. The figure 8 is a symbol of money. Actually, its original derivation was two money bags, one sitting on the other. And when Pythagoras came back, why, he gave us this datum, and here we are in Greece at the apex of the newest and the best, numerology. Oh, it's the wrong lecture hall. You have to laugh when you consider what man has considered knowledge to be at periods in the past. All right, here we are, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. And today, I have some good news for you. And this is the evolution of List 1 for R2H. I'm going to show you how you can evolve a List 1. No matter if you have landed in the middle of Pango Pango or something of the sort, and you don't have a textbook to your name, you can evolve List 1. Now, this has really taken some doing. I don't mean to exaggerate. It'd be impossible to exaggerate the difficulties which have been connected with this. R2H is a process with a new rationale. There's a new rationale connected with that process. This actually is the level 2 process, case level 2. And R2H really goes into both channels, but isn't just headed at OT. This gives you your clear way stop, because you can move up this process, and sooner or later, you're going to start seeing free needles, and that kind of phenomena is very likely to occur in running this particular process. Not necessarily with every case. Some cases are going to run so head-on into a GPM that you're going to have to shift to 3N in order to carry out that particular GPM and then shift back to 2H, just as you can shift from R3R over to 3N and back again. Well, given the fact that you could shift over to 3N and back to R2H, you're dealing now with a case level 1 process. This will boot them all the way on up the line. But if you are dealing with a just your normal course of human events, and just avoid any ideas of GPMs, don't bother with trying to clear up track in that particular direction, undoubtedly the PC will come back off the track and you'll start getting key out phenomena. You see how that process might very well theoretically branch. In other words, you keep on running the process itself, you eventually make a track that looks pretty straight and pretty clean and gives you an apparency of case level 2, which is clear, see? And that would be with the benefit of key out and free needle, and you probably find the phenomena, and this is probably, because you understand this has not been done by this process, but we have done so many of these that it's pretty easy to predict on a process line. And you would get a phenomenon which looked very like, this is just pure R2H, see, you get a phenomenon that looked very like a case level 2. However, it's a keyed out case level 2. The person's whole track really isn't available to them. But it would give you all the attributes of clear by all of its definitions. All right? Now, if you introduce into it the factor that when you collide with a GPM, you're going to shift over into 3N, then you've got one that goes to case level 1. In other words, you could take R2H, combine it with 3N when necessary, and wind up at case level 1. You understand, this process has this branch fork in the roads. Now, therefore, it unexpectedly joins up with what we're calling now, and you aren't really haven't started calling it yet, but Scientology 3. Scientology 3 was more or less suspended in favor of Scientology 4, the levels of Scientology. There's been a recent policy letter out which divided Scientology up into 5 levels. And there was Scientology 1, that's for the public, at your PE level Scientology, and we're putting out a plea to one and all to please contribute any data they think is vital and necessary to be in this. And then there's Scientology 2, which is healing, which we haven't had too much to do with. That's care of the body, and so forth. And HPAHCA levels probably get quite a bit of Scientology 2. And then there's Scientology 3, and that's advanced auditing, advanced academy courses, that sort of thing, leading up to the area of clear. Such phenomena as we've had in the past. Now, it doesn't happen to be a well-wrapped-up area because we jumped off of that area to go into Scientology 4. And this occasioned even some of you quite a few headaches because there was a necessary speed-up in research, and the place to research toward, of course, was OT. Now, that's Scientology 4, and the material which you're learning right now is Scientology 4. And then there's Scientology 5. And Scientology 5 is the social, political, organizational levels of Scientology. This is a takeoff from the level of OT. And that isn't just Scientology applied to political problems. That would be a misnomer, although it would read like that in the textbook. And so forth. That isn't that at all. It's actually, what does an OT do about it? That makes quite a different subject, doesn't it? So anyway, it is of interest to have picked up some of the earlier work at Scientology 3 and carried it forward to something of a conclusion. Now, you're not really interested in routine 2H, and it probably ought to be redesignated. You're probably not interested in routine 2H, which is, by the way, also applicable at Scientology 2, don't you see it? Some other version of it, much easier to do, something like that. You're interested as R2H applies to Scientology 4, which is OT. Now, I want to point out to you, and this is just a side note here, that these things fit with classifications as they exist today. Okay, so you have a Class 1 auditor. He can listen. And you have a Class 2. Well, he could probably cure something up and run repetitive processes and, you know, CCH or something like this, reach and withdraw. You have Scientology 3 type auditor. Well, he could make a better human being. That's the level of the better human being. Scientology 4, Class 4 auditor, you're heading for OT. And 5, we're heading for Sane Universe. So this compares with your classifications, and I think you will find that it's very neat to have the subject organized like this. For instance, you can slap onto the covers of textbooks, one right after the other, you can Scientology 1, perfectly safe issue for general public, don't you see? For instance, we have a newspaper reporter prowling around right now, and we're feeding him Scientology 1, which, of course, is about all he should have anything to do with. He doesn't know even what he's looking at right now. He thinks he came down here to investigate our marriages. Crazy, you know. Anyway, he's got a copy of Reg's book, and he probably looked at his title, I hope. And he probably read something of that. We're getting this thing in some kind of order, however. We're getting this thing squared away one way or the other. He's looking for sensationalism, so we'll give him sensationalism at level 1. Do you see, it brings a little more order to the subject instead of just it's all spattered out across these lines where we can subdivide it and to its materials. And this only becomes possible because we are reaching up at a high level of attainment in each one of these levels. We have quite a bit of accomplishment in the lower levels, and we need codifications and publications, and in republishing and codifying and that sort of thing, we need designations. Now, it's very baffling for you to have a process which moves on up through more than one of these levels, which attains different things at different levels, and so on. And it is phenomenal to have such a process at all. It moves around. It handles the thing called an ARC break. Well, there are many ways you could handle the thing called an ARC break. There are probably many versions of processes which you could handle ARC breaks with. So you'll probably see this material splintering off into these various levels. ARC, just the explanation of what ARC is level one, you see. Perhaps specific and directed ARCs at various body parts and that sort of thing, and perhaps OW and that sort of thing would constitute healing applications of ARC. And at clear level, of course, you're trying to raise somebody's ARC. You can do some remarkable things with picking up their ARC breaks in this lifetime. It'd be quite phenomenal to do that. Well, ARC has been with us for quite a while, and to push demands of ARC this high, the theory of ARC, the triangle of affinity, reality, and communication, to push that much stress onto it and say, all right, let's try to push this into Scientology 4 OT. Well, that's really asking for a few blown gaskets. Because it's obvious that if this much stress is put on the theory of ARC, then any slightest frailty in any scale is going to show up. In other words, you're really going to have the stuff there. We haven't been asking very much of this, but now we're asking everything of this. And, boy, some of our, not very much of it, fortunately, but there were some holes. There were some holes in what we knew of ARC. It was, you might say, insufficiently embracive or insufficiently complete to do a totality of work. It's all right to run a machine, let us say. You can run a machine just fine, and it gets along fine, and then you put more load on it, you see, and it starts to heat up a little bit, and its life seems to shorten and that sort of thing. And you put a little bit more load on it, then any bad connection or any bit of weak metal in it is going to go spling. You see? And that's approximately what's happened to ARC and the CDEI scale. Now, those two things together needed an overhaul. And I've been overhauling these things empirically. Now, R2H has only one frailty, and that is the list you use for the assessment. It's the only frailty it has. Given an auditor who will listen, given a meter that will react, given any kind of decent goodwill in the auditing session at all, well, the machine is pretty tolerant in those parts. You see, the R2A, it'll work just fine. I mean, you can even flub it and mess it up here and there and make mistakes with it, and it doesn't break down. Now, the point where it just breaks down absolutely with a crash, it'd be a wrong assessment list. And if that assessment list, it could have a lot of things that weren't necessary on it, but if it lacked one single ingredient, then the bypass charge on the case would not be located, and you would succeed in re-stimulating the case at certain levels, and the case would eventually move up to a stuck tone arm because the charge would be wrongly placed and insisted here and there, and the track wouldn't straighten out. You see the liability of this. In other words, you could miss the charge on one ARC brake or another ARC brake without making the case crash. That's one or another ARC brake. But if one specific, very important type of charge was missing from the list on all ARC brakes, eventually that charge would overwhelm the PC. And you'd result in a good high stuck tone arm and an ARC broke PC and so forth. In other words, the limit of this particular process would be the embracingness of the list which was used. So there is the weak point of this process, the list. So I had to sweat and fume and fuss and fiddle and overhaul and try it again. And I've had some of the fanciest systems, you know. These things would make a whole psychotherapy up at London University or wherever they teach the stuff here in England. They would, you know. It'd just be marvelous. Whole new systems of interlockings and all of this kind of thing. Beautiful. The logic in them impeccable. But they didn't work. That was all that was wrong with them. Like modern psychiatry. It's terribly convincing, but doesn't work. Now, that list, with its liability of bogging a case down if an important type of charge is missing. You understand that you can miss the charge on an ARC brake and then get the next one well, and then miss the real charge on the next ARC brake and get the next two well, you see, and you don't ruin anybody, you see. But if consistently that type of charge is missing on that list, sooner or later your PC has had it, see. So what is the totality of the list? What formula is it that makes this list a completely embracive list? Well, you'll laugh when I eventually show you this thing, because it's always these simple things. It seems like anybody can discover anything that's complicated. I mean, that seems to be very easy. They go out and they discover the plutons running into the neurons and these fantastic chemical formulas that run on for 8 pages and give you better lipstick. It's these simple things. It's these simple things wherein lies the genius of the situation. They're the ones that you can just take and knock your head off on. And you come back to it, what makes a good auditor an auditor? And we've eventually broken it back to 5 points. And they're all fundamental points. And where you don't get auditing done in some HGC or something like that, where you're supervising auditing, you watch it. You go back over those points and you'll find out there's one or two of them. It is madly out. Not even slightly. It is madly out. But the reduction of auditing to just 5 basics is pretty wild. Now, the breakdown of a communication cycle and the breakdown of the auditing cycle and that sort of thing, these things are terribly simple. But it takes some discovery like this ITSA line. I'm sure you sat there when you saw this ITSA line and you said, yeah, of course, you know, simple. Well, frankly, when you discover these things, you feel like a complete idiot. Very self-invalidating, you know. It's like you've been running into this rock all the time, and you finally come back and take a look at it. You say, hey, it's a rock, you know, and you've never noticed it. Nobody else has noticed it. There it's been. These are the discoveries that are something. And it's this type of discovery that finally wrapped up this other list. So that it's a springs and grams, you know, bang, bang, bang. Now, you could put any kind of significance you ever heard of, and you might still miss it on this list. So I better give you the formula of derivation. This is a derivation formula. I'm going to give you the full derivation formula. I'm not going to give you any little shorthanding of it. You, by the way, don't use this full formula in making up list one. But I can show you a very trick system by which you could employ it without assessing forever. See? Now, it works like this. The CDEI scale has an upper and a lower band. And it was on this band that we all fell down. Now, here's your C, D, E, I scale. Curiosity, desire, and force inhibit. You're very well aware of the C, D, E, I scale. But that's only a piece of the scale. Now, we only needed that piece to do everything we've been doing up to this time. And the missingness of the remainder of the scale was not something that destroyed empires. But when we run into something like R2H and ARC breaks, if we haven't got the whole scale here, we're in trouble. Well, what is the whole scale here? K-U. Know or known and unknown. Well, look, let's look it over. Let's look it over. What about that no? Well, no is already, you had to postulate you didn't know up above it, but that isn't unknown yet. See, the not know goes up above this. The basic four postulate stuff is already in this stuff, and we don't happen to need that because that simply measures case gain. This we do need. Known, unknown. Why does that fit in? How come? It's elementary, my dear Watson. You never get curious about something you know about. I mean, it says damn fool idiot things, ain't it? So knowingness must have disintegrated because we know as a case progresses, its knowingness rises. So as the case progresses, its knowingness rises, and therefore we must be running out unknownnesses. And this tells us that things have to be unknown before you enter into the CDEI scale at all. That gets to be very interesting. And you'll find out a very, very interesting part of ARC breaks is the unknownness. You know, the unknown datum, we've even got it in our early logics. An unknown can cause a confusion. And so forth. And there's obviously where that belongs. So that's part of your CDEI scale, oddly enough, which is a scale of the way one looks at things. But that isn't the complete scale. I'm sorry to have to get into this thing any further. But what's that? There's nothing. Nothing. That belongs on the CDEI scale, believe it or not. Nothing. It's neither known nor unknown. There's nothing there to inhibit, enforce, desire, to be curious about, to be unknown or to be known. There just isn't anything there. And that is pretty obvious too, isn't it? In fact, it's an idiotic obviousness. It's just an absence. That's all. You haven't got something now to inhibit. That's the Black Panther mechanism. And you feel more idiotic about this thing appearing on this thing when you realize that it's in book one. The Black Panther mechanism. Ignore it. Do nothing about it. It's just a no action level. Pretty grisly. It doesn't mean no ARC. We're not into ARC yet. This is just, you can inhibit things. Well, how about just doing nothing about them? There's nothing. Well, of course, that's one of these of course mechanisms because man routinely does nothing about things. That is one of his best mechanisms. In fact, no government on earth could be the way it is if they didn't specialize in this one. Do nothing about it. Until it's too late or something of the sort, which is, again, just doing nothing about it. All right, well, that's fine, but is there anything else on this scale? Well, unfortunately, this is the one, man. This is the one that broke the camel's back. This is the one. We've talked about it. We know it exists. We've had it around. I mean, everybody knows about it. But we know all about it, and so we've never defined it. But the basic part of this one was designating it, finding some word that designated it that would communicate. It would communicate. And it's F, falsify. And after you do nothing about it, there's nothing there you can falsify. You're not inhibiting something, you can falsify it. You're not doing nothing about it, you're falsifying it. But of course that puts something else there. So it tends to turn the whole scale up here again in an inversion. See, after you've gone down this whole scale, how do you start it all over again? Well, your K at the top, known, becomes false. And then, of course, you don't know about falseness, and then, of course, you're curious about, you see, the falsifications, and so forth. And this scale then turns round and round on that basis. But it's just the same scale now. It now hits level after level after level after level all the way down by just running this one point. So that's what makes the scale invert. So it's a probability in this universe that you almost never see the K. The whole scale probably lies below F. That part of the ARC scale then, which most people are working with and so forth, are below F. So you see, as you go down scale, it requires all of those primary designations to bring about lower harmonics. You see what I mean here? Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of a tremendously involved scale. K, we'll do this very small. K-U-C-D-E-I-O... F, U, C, D, E, I, O, F, U. See this? See what's happening here? See, there's your whole scale. Got it? It goes on south. Perversions of perversions. Falsifications of falsifications. Don't you see? You finally get modern science. You go far enough south. All based on a false premise that man is mud. You see something like that, and then you can go all the way. You get this now. Well, that's how that thing inverts. So, there is it. Top K, U, C, D, E, I, O, F. Zero F. It's not a no, it's a zero. Probably better be spelled with a Z. And that is a complete band. And it takes each one of those levels to make a complete band. And as long as we only had the CDEI scale, this was very pure and very upscale, but we couldn't deal with aberration. We couldn't deal with a raw aberration of an n-gram because we didn't have enough lower inversions. Because the scale wasn't complete, so we couldn't invert it. There were more things in each band than we had, and the things that were missing was known unknown at the top, and down at the bottom, zero and false. And there we have a total cycle, you might say, of the scale. Now I can assure you, that cycle can turn over again. Instead of known now, you have false. So it goes down to unknown falseness, you see? You're curious about falseness, the desire of falseness, the enforcement of falseness, you see? And then you get down the inhibition of falseness, and then no falseness. And then you get a falseness about falseness. You see that? And you just keep on adding this up, and you will get more and more and more and more involved lower levels. I see you're sitting there a bit stunned. Now, what don't you dig out of this? What do you see there that you don't understand? Seems to me to be perfectly obvious. You're looking, by the way, at only one band when you look at the full scale like that. You're looking at only one band of the old tone scale. That's shown up. You can take Science of Survival, the old tone scale of one kind or another. And let's take one band. Let's drop down just one band. Let's go from one to two. Let's just take a look at that. Let's say two to one. And you're going to find all those levels between two and one. And they'll be at some harmonic or another of the upper levels. A pure scale, call it the CDI scale, just for lack of a better term at this particular time, is so unimaginably high that it's probably never envisioned. It's terrifically high. Most of the scales that we see and so forth are already with falseness at knowingness. It's a false of false of false of false. Look what they teach you in school. George Washington never cut down any cherry trees because he was an Englishman and they are orchard men or something. You wait. You just see that legend go along far enough and it will become long. And it'll go down another one, see. Very interesting. So all truth or actions or data or almost anything else goes down this CDEI scale in that fashion. Known, unknown, curious, desire, enforce, inhibit, do nothing, falsify. You see that now? All right. Here we have our old friends, A, R, and C. Nothing to this. Here you have A, R, C for the incident. And here you have, that's for the incident itself. Now we're getting into R2H. And then we have earlier incident. Got it? And we have A, R, and C for the earlier incident. We've got it for the incident we're working with. And we've got it for an earlier incident. See? And you just do this. And each one of those levels has six. We have them for the incident, we have them for the earlier incident. Got that? And then just for fun, in case they didn't get the word, and so forth, on each one we put, this is for the purposes of really getting the thing scattered into sight, we put a missed withhold. And over here, of course, it's an earlier missed withhold. That's your list one. Let you digest that for a minute. That's list one. Now that's actually all possible levels that will have any reaction on anybody about anything. That's an ARC break laid out, man. Each one, known, unknown, curious, desire, enforce, inhibit, do nothing, falsify, each one of those levels has eight questions. Each one of those levels has eight questions. And those eight questions are the incident, attitude, communication, reality. See, the attitude, reality, communication, and the missed withhold. And then, is there an earlier incident with a bypass charge of the attitude, the reality, and the communication, and the missed withhold? See? Put the missed withhold in there just for kicks. You'll find out it's a bucket load of stuff. Now, that's a full list. Now, you can add that up mathematically. There are eight questions. And count them up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are eight questions for each level. And there are eight levels. And that was chimes into my gag about the figure eight, getting a lecture. And you add 8 times 8, and that gives you 64 questions. And that's all the questions they is. That's a total list one. It consists of 64 separate questions. Do you see how to evolve this? I'm teaching you how to evolve it. I'm not trying to give you a list. There's somebody sitting back there saying, well, he's going to give us the list a moment, and so on. That isn't what I'm going to teach you. I'm teaching you how to evolve this thing. I'm assuming that you're on Pango Pango. You have collided one way or the other with the wrong asteroid or something, and you're trying to put Scientology back together again and run some hard to wait on somebody. And there you go. How do you put a list one together? There is your list one. Very important thing. 64 questions. Actually, at this stage of the game, don't care what you do with the 64 questions. See? It's just there is the totality of all possible combinations of an ARC break charge. That's all the charge there can be on an ARC break. Now, you can dream up a whole bunch of additional ones. Oh, you can dream up additional ones madly. I don't care if you do. Maybe some of them will communicate, maybe some of them won't. But they will actually come back to this one. And they will not be central charges that really are bypass charges to amount to anything. Now, this list with its 64 questions gives you very interesting application possibilities. So that you don't have to assess 64 questions. Well, let's assess the CDEI scale first on the incident, and then take the biggest read on that, and then move that sideways onto its 8 questions. So that leaves you with a totality for assessment of 8 and 8, 16 questions. I'm showing the trick systems by which you can break this thing down. In other words, you figure out some communicating name, see, for each one of these things. Well, for instance, in force, you put too much. Right now, you're using the inhibit scale all the time, an attitude refused, you see, communication ignored. That's really your inhibit scale. And unknownness and an unknown that and so forth. But you can say, was there something known about the incident? Was something unknown about the incident? Was some curiosity about the incident? Was some desire in the incident? Was there an enforcement in the incident? Was there an inhibition in the incident? Or you can enforce, you say too much something in the incident. Was it a nothingness that upset you in the incident? Or was it something that was falsified? Now, one of those things bangs, and you've then got your standard scale, which, of course, you could put it on separate little cards. And it's written up, specially worded, for the level it comes from. See? Did that incident have an unknown attitude? Did it have an unknown reality? Was there an unknown communication? In that incident, was there a restimulation of an earlier unknown attitude? Restimulation of an earlier unknown reality? Restimulation of an earlier unknown communication? Stimulation of earlier missed withhold, of course. Missed withhold questions are always the same. Not an unknown missed withhold, see? It's just, was there a missed withhold? Now, that'd be quite a remarkable system. And you'll find that system would work. That system would work very well. But it doesn't happen to be a vital system to what you're doing. It isn't vital that you do the system that way. Because a whole bunch of these levels are null. That's interesting. They don't have significant charge on them. And under the heading of significant charge, you can cross off K, U, C, D, E, leaving you with I. You can cross off 0 and F. You can leave F.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.